Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is going to be a fun one. First things first, we are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to be giving away some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets as well as some love from our friends at Goodwill Industries and Window Nation as we get it back on the road. We'll be at Conrad's Crabs on Wednesday from 2 until 5 doing the Crab Cake Tour, and then into May and June, got big, big plans. Be announcing that week after next. I'll have all of that stuff together for everyone. We got an announcement on Friday. You talk about news dumps. I'm a soccer guy from way back. I've invited some old soccer guests back on here, and I don't know the last time I had Steve Goff on. May have been over a decade ago. I think I met him on a pitch with John Harkes when John Harkes was still playing and the Maryland Bays were in the USILS setback. I don't know what it was. But I love soccer. And when we start talking about World Cup in my town, combined bids, D.C. and Baltimore don't combine on anything. I felt like we're going to dedicate a little bit of time to this week, even though we have the NFL draft around. Steve Goff has covered soccer for the Washington Post since before I got to the Baltimore Sun, going on almost 37 years now. I love the fact that early on, he squatted out on Twitter and became soccer insider all over the world on Twitter, at least until this other guy buys it. We welcome him back on from the Washington Post to talk all things Baltimore and Washington together, huh? Kind of weird, Steve, huh? Really weird, right?
Yeah, crazy but necessary is the only way it's going to work.
Well, run me through this, because the Baltimore in me, and I'll give you a little background. I went to the 06 World Cup in Germany. I spent a lot of time in Amsterdam, Germany, in Switzerland, and I saw all the parties in Amsterdam where there wasn't a World Cup, in Switzerland where there wasn't a World Cup, but where hundreds of thousands of people were gathering in public squares to turn outdoor spaces into giant sports bars. And I came back to Baltimore and I saw the basin of the Inner Harbor, and this was where I lived in 2006, and looking out and thinking, barges and seats on Federal Hill, festival might work, right? This is fascinating that 16 years later that we're now at this point where we have a World Cup coming to America. It's real. And somehow DC Stadium is being considered subpar. And I've heard, at least over the weekend, this is a little bit of an act of desperation for DC. I don't know. But if it gets games in Baltimore and we get to be one of the 10, I'm going to be very, very elated for my city, even for the people here who don't understand what a BFD it is.
Yeah, no, Washington would be a slam dunk, as every nation's capital is hosting for a country that's hosting World Cup. But FedEx Field just isn't good enough. It doesn't, FIFA wasn't impressed during their inspection tour last fall. They want Washington to be part of the World Cup to some extent. But the stadium is just, it's not very good. It's not going to get any better. The NFL team is not going to pour any more money into it for the purposes of World Cup, because they're looking to build a new stadium. So the next best solution was to play the games in Baltimore and make it a capital region bid. This was suggested by FIFA and by U.S. soccer officials. And if they weren't serious about choosing this bid, they wouldn't have pushed for it. And it's pretty clear, it's not guaranteed, but pretty clear that, Baltimore will end up being one of the 10 or 11 U.S. sites. FIFA does what it wants. There's no set numbers for U.S. because Mexico and Canada are also involved, but it's looking good for Charm City.
Well, you're getting me excited. And this is a problem, because Grant Wall came on. He said, number 11, not top 10. And I'm thinking, it's a nation's capital. It's the capital of the free world. They can't not do it. And I'm thinking, is there some way they're going to do the thing on the mall but not play the games here and give the games to Philadelphia? Like, I'm trying to over the weekend. Dude, Terry Hazeltine came to a World Cup event I hosted in 2010. I got Don Moeller, back before he was Baltimore County executive, to give me the square in Towson with Nancy Hafford. And when the U.S. played England, you remember that World Cup game? Argentina played that day as well. We had a big festival. Comcast still owes me 10 grand. If you see anybody, let them know. But that was all about creating excitement to get a World Cup in America when – as you well know, you covered it all. Raids in the middle of the night in 15 over in Switzerland. Chuck Blazer and his parents taking bags full of money. All that went into Russia and Qatar getting these games has somehow led. The jersey that Terry gave me in 2010 had a big 22 on it. 22s on the arm and the back, and it said Baltimore 22 on it. And I thought, we're probably never going to get games here, but I'm in. Maybe we could have watch parties. Maybe it'd be fun in Fells Point, or, you know, Federal Hill, whatever. We would
on get its own. Yeah, on its own. On its own, Baltimore was not going to get it.
It just fair enough. Gonna... So I was never optimistic until Friday. Right. So now all of a sudden, then you say to me, "Well, there's no way that they're going to overlook." Because I thought that too. I thought, if they're putting this thing together, they're not doing it to embarrass Baltimore and D.C. They're doing it to try to get them into the 10.5-yard line to move into being able to do this. I don't think they'll be denied at this point. What would have to happen to screw this up, Steve?
Well, I mean, they have to, you know, D.C. and Baltimore have to finalize their plans, their coordination in terms of transportation, you know, security, just all the coordination that would go into two cities being involved in a bid, even though only one city will host the games. And FIFA and the U.S. Soccer Federation, they've inspected M&T Bank Stadium. They attended a Ravens game last fall to see what it was like for a big event to take place at that venue. You know, they like the stadium. They like the setup. They like the passion that Maryland has brought, that Baltimore has brought. And they want to have DC involved as well with a massive fan fest on the National Mall, watch parties, coordination with the government, with embassies. It's a big part of what FIFA does. And so because of all those issues, I'd be very surprised if FIFA did not select it. It's not guaranteed, but I think it's certainly heading in that direction, and we'll see what they decide in the next 2 months.
Steve Goff covers all things soccer and the beautiful game of football all over the world at DC at the Washington Post. You can find him at Soccer Insider. Very, very easy to find that. Let's talk about the field down there in DC and what they hated about it. We hate it because we hated the Redskins and the Commanders and the Washington National Football Team, whatever you're going to call them. We're from Baltimore.
Sure.
I went down there for the Stones a couple years ago, U2, whatever. You know, I've been there 25 times over 25 years or however long it's been there for various things, dozen Redskins games over the period of time. But what is it that is so awful about soccer and the pitch and sight lines and whatever that they still play NFL games there? They do have concerts there. What makes it so odious to the FIFA people? They have skyboxes. I mean, they can make money there, right?
Yes and no. When you have many choices of where to play, FedEx Field ranks very low. You know, there have been well-publicized incidences with railings falling and pipes bursting, and you know, it's just not a great place to go for an event. You know, it's surrounded by huge parking lots. There's nothing around it. There is a metro nearby. It's a long walk up a hill, but it's there. You know, it's just, they got better options to play. And like I said, the money the team's going to put into it is specifically for their NFL purposes, for their fan experiences. They're not going to pour a lot of money into the place since they're leaving, around the time a World Cup would be coming. So, you know, it's just not a great place. And that stadium, as with almost every stadium under consideration, is too narrow for soccer. It's unbelievable how short-sighted these developers, these NFL teams, these cities built these stadiums without other events under consideration. And soccer involves a wider field. So, for instance, if SoFi Stadium in LA is chosen, they're going to have to build a platform and then, you know, expand the field into the several rows of stands. The capacity of the place for a World Cup would only be like maybe 55,000. So there's a lot of issues. The only stadium that's really wide enough in its natural in its natural construction is in Miami, because they had the foresight to build it with proper dimensions. So every stadium has width issues. That's the problem with NFL facilities.
Steve Goff is here from the Washington Post talking all things. Now, you, covering soccer, I met you 30 years ago. I mean, it was a whole other era. You know, I think Bruce Arena was at Virginia then, and the 94 World Cup had barely gone off or like around then. And obviously the O2 Cup, things changed for America. The ladies changed things. But in recent times, missing World Cups and the corruption of the bidding and all of that, you've watched soccer really grow up here locally. And the fact that a Baltimore-Washington bid would come together, that doesn't sound right for baseball or for football, where it's been at odds. But I think in this community, whether it's Maryland, Virginia, UMBC had their Final Four run. I have Pete on the show. I'm even wearing his UMBC colors here in my Costasin shirt. But the soccer community here to celebrate this and to have this actually happen, there's not a whole lot. And I say that in jest. I can kid about it. I can play the, you know, the stepchild in Baltimore and woe is us and all of that. But there aren't a whole lot of times where Baltimore, Washington get together on things. And this is a fascinating development through in sport, you know, for these communities that have fought about football teams and baseball teams and money and Masson and just bad broadcast, all of that that bakes into it. The fact that we come together on something, that's sort of a beautiful thing if this actually were to happen over the next 4 years, that we are actually getting the meal and not the appetizer or the dessert in Baltimore and that we're getting the games. Like, it will be. I will not be sober that night in June. When are they doing this? What day is it in June they're doing this? Do we know?
They haven't announced yet. It'll probably be mid-June.
I will not be sober that night if Baltimore's getting World Cup games, and it'll force me to try to live 4 more years. I promise.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they'll, if it's chosen, what they'll call the bid or what they'll call the venue. You know, will they call it Washington Baltimore? Will they call it Baltimore Washington? Will they call it Mid-Atlantic? Will they call it the capital bid? I'm just curious because, you know, FIFA wants DC being the capital of the free world involved. And to what extent does DC try to save face and insist that their branding is on the bid, you know? Because this, you know, look, this is embarrassing for Washington. Every single World Cup since the World Cup started in 1930 has had the capital city involved in a major way, if not for the final, then for, prominent matches. The only exceptions were 2002, when it was in Japan, South Korea. Tokyo wasn't an actual site, but there were three venues around Tokyo, and Tokyo is such a huge metropolitan area. There was no issue there. And the other one was 1974, when West Germany hosted. Bonn was the capital, but West Berlin, it was a complicated situation. There were no games in Bonn. There were games in West Berlin. That kind of took an asterisk. But for Washington, D.C. not to have World Cup games after they hosted 1994 men, 1999 women, 2003 women World Cups, this is a bad look. So, we'll see how they shine this up.
Well, Steve, you know, in addition to all of this, when I'm sitting over in Amsterdam on canals watching crazy Brazilians hang off of, you know, fourth floor balconies with Brazilian flags and just all the things that I saw in that way, the thought that Baltimore would have games, it wouldn't, because there weren't a lot of games, right? I mean, letting more teams in and expanding this field has created more revenue, but more games, and also Canada and Mexico, which we have not mentioned, are also involved in this, much like the South Korea, Japan bid.
This will be a North American bid. It was a North American bid. That's what basically secured it. Mexico is going to have three venues: Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. That seems pretty certain. Canada's a little uncertain. Toronto's definite. Vancouver has gotten back in because FIFA wanted Vancouver back in. And then Edmonton's in the running. So it's going to be either two or three in Canada. And that leaves 10 or 11 for the U.S.
Steve, what's FIFA looking for? You really put a lot of time. I mean, obviously, there was such corruption. You can Google your name and Chuck Blazer and read about all the stuff that happened a million years ago and authoritarian governments and whatever is going to happen in Qatar in a couple of months, however hot it's going to be and whatever experience, the politics and all of that aside. But for all of this, in this is very, very service the king. They don't pay taxes. They set up little fiefdoms and take the money. Hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars will be generated. I don't know where the shell game of who actually gets that money or where that all goes, but money will be generated. At least for my purposes and my excitement here at this point, I feel like hotels will be full in Baltimore. Things will be happening. It'll be one giant 1 month party that people here have no concept of what it could be like and what it will be like if this actually happens and the Germans or the Brazilians or the Argentines play a game or two or three or five here. And this wouldn't be small, right? Like if this bid happens, we get like six games here, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's an 80 game tournament because of it's being expanded starting in 2026. There's more teams, there's 48 teams instead of 32, which really waters down the tournament. That's the unfortunate part of this. So, you know, as it stands, almost every World Cup game has some sort of great intrigue and attention brought to it, you know, with a broader tournament, you know, you're going to get some games that aren't the most appealing.
They're going to look a little more like Azerbaijan did the other night, kind of like that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But it would be, you know, you'd get some games that wouldn't necessarily draw. All these games are going to sell out, or most of them are going to sell out, but
is this my chance to take a cheap shot and maybe it allows the Italians to get in?
Yeah, I mean, look, hey, the Italians have missed two in a row. The Italians haven't won a knockout game at the World Cup since they won the World Cup title in 2006. It's so when, we're comparing apples and oranges a little bit, certainly because the competition's different. But, you know, the U.S. missed one World Cup, you know, and everyone was besides themselves. They missed one World Cup. It was bad. It was embarrassing, but it was one World Cup. It was a hiccup. It was an anomaly. And now they're back in. Italy's missed two in a row. And for a world power to miss two World Cups in a row is pretty stunning and will create a lot more soul searching in Italy. We'll see them back in 2026.
Well, if they play here, they pack hotels. So we sort of like the way we'll let them into the tournament like UCLA or, you know, they bring fans with them. Steve Goff is here. He is soccer insider. He's down at the Washington Post. Since the last time you and I got together, the MLS in America and what that represents, obviously women playing the game. We go back to 99 and in the modern era, anybody under 40 doesn't think of soccer as not cool. They think of baseball as not cool. And I know that the soccer stadium has grown up in the shadows of the baseball stadium down there in DC, but where's the state of the Barra Brava and DC United and the league and all of this as it ramps to 2026? Because Steve, I get a lot of rumors in Baltimore, right? A lot of facts. There's never been any rumor that the Baltimore Bays are going to reunite and that we were going to be in MLS. And I know that there was a little bit of that for a minute or two with a soccer stadium here or whatever, but it feels like the ship sailed a little bit, but it feels like in other places, if my kid was in Columbus or my grandkids were in Chester, Pennsylvania, or in any of these places, soccer has really been what it promised it would be in 1999 when Brandi Chastain does that thing, that it's by 2026, it will be much more of a rip roar for this country that this tournament becomes what everyone knows to be the biggest tournament in the world.
Well, in 1994, the attendance figures for 1994 still stand as the all-time record. So it was a big deal in 1994. 1999 was more of a launching pad for the women's game. It was really unrelated to the men's World Cup.
But I think it made people in this country make their girls, everybody's daughter play soccer now, and they were familiar with the rules. They're familiar with what it, you know, that was always the thing as a kid playing baseball is we never played soccer. We didn't even know how long the games were, you know, and the games weren't on TV. Like all of that's gone away now where you can watch, pick your favorite league on Saturday morning and it's there. It's just so accessible in a way that maybe it wasn't in 1994.
Well, on Saturday at early afternoon, this past Saturday, ABC, this is all simultaneous. ABC was showing Bayern Munich versus Borussia Dortmund. CBS had the Washington Spirit against North Carolina Courage, NWSL. And NBC had Tottenham Hotspur against Brentford. So three of your top four networks and your three, you know, oldest broadcast networks were all showing live soccer at the same time on Saturday afternoon. And that doesn't include, you know, all your cable outlets and Peacock and everything else that shows Premier League live, matches live, Bundesliga live, Serie A live, all the MLS games on ESPN Plus and on regional networks. It's part of the fabric of the country. It continues to grow. Soccer, lowercase s, soccer, is far bigger than hockey in this country. It continues to creep up on other sports. MLS still has a ways to go. When you look at MLS, the subset of soccer, it's big in many of the cities, but as a national brand is still in the process of growing.
Well, needs stars, right? Like literally needs a Mike Trout, needs a LeBron, and inevitably that star winds up going and playing in Europe still. And probably that might not change, right? Literally.
Yeah. I mean, you go where the money is. And, you know, right now you could say MLS, you know, look, soccer is different because every country in the world has a professional league, and they have, some countries have second division leagues that are better than most countries' first division leagues. You know, if you're a football fan in this country, you watch the NFL or you watch college football. That's it. Okay. You might follow your local high school, but I'm not going to count that. You're not watching anything overseas. If you're a basketball fan, you're watching the NBA or you're watching college basketball. That's it. Soccer, you have the choice of, in America, right now, MLS is the fourth most popular league in this country in terms of viewing, behind Champions League, behind the Premier League, and behind Liga MX, the Mexican League. So you have all these choices of things to watch. And MLS is competing against that. And, you know, as long as there are products out there with greater history and greater talent and greater exposure, it's always going to be in a fight. It's a unique challenge to soccer.
Well, look, man, I'm doing a Maryland Crab Cake tour and I'm even coming to the DC suburbs. So maybe down in, I can't call it PG County, pisses everybody off. Prince George's County. I get corrected on that. Or Montgomery County during August. Maybe we'll have a celebratory DC, Baltimore. You know, the Terps have been trying to do that for years, put DC and Baltimore together and make something out of it, right? last thing for you. You really think this is going to happen, though? You are. Tell my audience, my soccer audience, that, like, should I send Pete Carinci a text right now and say this is in the bag? It's the most unbelievable thing. Or should I be, because we got about 7 weeks of intrigue here, right? This is going to be something in June that there's going to be a moment. Is it literally a televised pull it out kind of thing, or is it a press release? I don't know. I need to know.
Yeah, they've thrown us around some ideas. There was the thought of maybe having a big splash in Las Vegas. That's been toned down. I think it'll be in Manhattan, in New York City, at a press conference or at a big, a big ballroom or something.
Well, a reason for me to go to New York. But I kind of want to be here to celebrate. The party's on the street here. I should start the local party to let people know. Go out, bang some pots and pans, you know, do something.
Yeah.
Because it's the biggest thing that would ever happen to Baltimore. And most people in Baltimore don't know that. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like Friday. People were like, holy shit, we're getting a Super Bowl? What? It wasn't that. There was none of that going on, even amongst my friends, even out on Facebook. Even some soccer people are a little like, World Cup ain't coming here. You know, like, there's just, it's a little unbelievable to me, even though I dream the dream to some degree. I never really believed it to be a reality. So if it actually happened, like getting an NFL team here, I never really thought we'd ever have the Ravens on it. You probably didn't either, that we were ever going to get a team here.
Right. You know, I think there's a very good chance. It's not a slam dunk, but the fact that FIFA and US Soccer has been pushing for this joint bid is a very good sign. And the fact that Washington, D.C., like I said, being the capital, FIFA wants that to be part of the World Cup. And without games nearby, it would come across as kind of artificial and funny just to have games being televised on the mall. I just don't think that really resonates. But if you have games 35 miles up the road and make it a regional bid, I think it happens. So we'll see. We'll see.
Steve, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on and getting my hopes way, way, way up now. I mean, I'm not picking champagne. I've got to figure out how I'm going to celebrate if this were to happen. But the best part is for a Baltimore guy and a loudmouth like me to say, we always knew you'd need us.
They need the stadium. There's no doubt about that. FedEx Field just doesn't cut it.
I feel like singing Ann Murray's "You Needed Me" right now or something.
Yeah, hey. It's looking good, but certainly not certain.
All right. Well, it's like everything else. Certainly exactly. Uncertain in our time. Steve Goff covers all things soccer and the beautiful game down in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Post. You can follow him at Soccer Insider out on Twitter. Thanks for making time. Thanks for having a good sense of humor. I love all the scarves behind you there. You're collecting them, huh?
Yeah, man, all over the world.
Well, that's the beauty of soccer, right? Everywhere you are, there's somebody kicking a soccer ball, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Peace, man. I appreciate you. Steve Goff, one of the best, been doing it since 1985 at the Washington Post, about as long as I've been doing radio, 31 years in Ad 6. And somewhere out there, I'll find the story that I wrote that day about John Harkes when I was in his company. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.